Hey, and welcome to another recording of our podcast. So, Kevin Guthrie here, talking about mental health and well-being. So, remember, the purpose of these podcasts is that we destigmatize mental health and well-being and make it more understandable. So, I've got a guest in the studio today. I have James Morris with me. Welcome, James.
Hi, Kevin.
So, James, could you just tell people a little bit about your background and what you do for a living, please?
I'm a local photographer from Newark-on-Trent. I specialise in photographing weddings, but I kind of took a side mission in 2017 to do a topic on mental health.
Excellent. Could you give us just a little bit more background around the stuff that you produced?
It started out from, I wanted to raise awareness on mental health, and I got given a gift to photograph and evoke emotion. So I wanted to put that forward to people in photographs. I'm not very good with words and writing, so I had to find another way that people would actually go onto social media, scroll through and actually stop and look at these images. I found this the best way to get the stigma that's around mental health in front of people. Like I said, social media is a powerful tool, so you can put it in front of people. The main aim of it was wanting to get to help one person, and I think at the end of the day we got there and we helped many more people along the way.
That sounds fantastic. So I'm hoping that we can, as people find this podcast, I'm hoping that we can share the link to the pictures, if that's okay with you, James.
That's okay. That's
brilliant.
Fine.
Because you're quite right. A lot of people can be more visual than they are kind of the written word. So I'm sure that the images were really, really powerful. So wedding photographer at the moment. Where did the photography start?
I started off doing school photography for a company in Newark-on-Trent about 5 or 6 years ago now. Don't hold me to that though, about 5 years. It started out from there, and then I branched out, set up a company for myself doing family photography, and then I went on to doing family lifestyle, so in and around the homes, outside, and then I went on to doing weddings, and that's where I found my niche. And where I want that, what I actually love doing, and so I don't seem like it's not work anymore.
That's amazing.
It's more of a hobby that I enjoy.
Yeah. And at such a young age as well. Such a young age. I have to say that when James walked in and I'd seen his work, I had to ask how old he was, because your work is really, really powerful, and the images are really powerful. So I was quite surprised when you said that you were only 29.
Thank you. I'm moisturized.
And I think it was more about the power of the images. So I put a shout out on social media and asked people that who would be interested in recording some of these podcasts with me around mental health and well-being. James stepped forward. We talked a little bit about the images that you took. Could you tell the listeners why, what kind of took you into that area? What was your draw into mental health and well-being?
I'd seen so many people affected online. I'd seen celebrities affected. I'd seen people close to me that were affected. So I knew that it can affect anybody. It could just affect yourself. It could affect me. It could affect anybody. The truth is, you never know who's struggling. You never know who's got these thoughts in their mind and want to do these certain things to themselves that we shouldn't really be thinking about doing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do these images to make people speak up.
Yeah.
I wanted to stop people in the tracks and actually take note and make it people know that this is going on.
Yeah.
Too many people avoid the stigma around it, and because it's such a difficult situation, something that's difficult to talk about, people try and avoid it.
Yeah.
They kind of are scared of the unknown or the challenging.
Yeah.
People want an easy ride in life, so why would you take time out to kind of challenge a difficult situation? But it needs people to help people that struggle.
Absolutely.
And for me, one of the key parts is people that struggle with mental health do get help. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not going to say that I'm a doctor. But these people do get help. But for me, a large part of it is the people around them need help as well.
Yeah.
How are they expected to support and care for people that are struggling with mental health when they don't really know how to do it? How can you expect them to do something? They're entering the unknown. So for them, it can be something that's quite frustrating and quite scary. So for the people around them as well, they need the support. They need the care.
Yeah.
And they need the help too of actually how to deal with it all. Because without the close-knit people around them, like friends and family, who have they got to turn to?
Yeah.
They don't have many people to turn to.
Absolutely. There's an exercise that I use in practice, and it's called What's My Oxygen? And the exercise is based on people recognizing in their own life what their own oxygen is. You know, when you're on an aeroplane and they say to you, if the oxygen mask falls, then please take your own oxygen first before assisting others. Why do you think they say that, James?
I don't know.
Well, they say that because if we don't take our own oxygen first, the chances are we'll pass out. And if we pass out, then we can't assist somebody else. So when I do this exercise with people in practice, what I'm saying to them is you have to find your own oxygen. And that's kind of what you're alluding to there. It's really important that anybody that is supporting somebody else with mental health knows how to take care of themselves. But interestingly, as I do the exercise in practice, so many people don't understand what their own oxygen is.
Yeah.
So for me, example, it could be, for me, it's going to the gym. Gym's really important to me. It could be walking the dogs. It could be having a bath. It could be having coffee and cake somewhere. There are so many different things that make me kind of, the other way I put it sometimes is smile inwards, I should say. So that's what your oxygen is. And that's why it's so important that we recognize that. But like I've just said, so many people don't recognize what their own thing is.
Yeah, I think that's important because, like you said, without looking after yourself, you can't really help them and support the people that are struggling with mental health. So for me, that's the basis of positive relationships that you need to have.
Yeah.
To help them progress and succeed and start turning the positives into negatives, because without that, it kind of becomes a negative bond.
Yeah.
Which never helps anything. It kind of just makes things a little bit worse, because that's when arguments progress and that's when the understanding of it kind of goes out of the window, because they're not understanding it, because they get more and more frustrated that they're not understanding something that the other person doesn't understand. And it kind of cycles from there. And that's when people say, I've had enough, I'm going, I'm leaving. And it just leaves a person that's got mental health in more of a negative situation.
Yeah.
Instead of building the positive situations, you end up building more of a negative one through not looking after yourself and not obviously making things in a more positive manner.
Yeah. How do you think? So I guess what you're saying there is you need a more positive platform from which you can generate more positivity. So how do you think we create a more positive platform? How would you do that for yourselves?
From my personal opinion, I found that you can, for example, if you're in a relationship and somebody struggled with mental health, when things get hard, people tend to leave.
Yeah.
For example, and that's where it makes things worse for the person with mental health.
Yeah,
because that's another negative on top of another negative, or you tend to argue because they don't understand how they feel. You don't understand how they feel, and it just causes an argument. Instead, if somebody is struggling and having a bad day and they feel a little bit frustrated at you and tend to shout and have an outburst of shouting, sometimes you just need to hug them.
Yeah.
You just need to hug them. You need to show them a positive action, whatever it may be. You might have to hug them.
Yeah.
Just something. Just talk to them. Talk to them about something that's positive. But you just have to have something that's a positive impact.
Yeah.
And slowly over time, I found personally that impact had a huge factor on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Because over time, it started to get a little bit better and a little bit better. When the positives started to outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
That's when you kind of saw a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And then progression started to be made. I'm not saying it's easy. It is a long, hard road, but you've got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
And that's where people, that's why a lot of people don't talk about mental health, because it is a long, hard road at the end of the day. And people need to realise you've kind of got to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And too many people think, ah, this is too much hard work. This is too difficult. This is not what I want from life. But sometimes you have to kind of support people. We're all humans at the end of the day, and you've got to support each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about one in three people experience some sort of mental health issue throughout their lives. I would guess it was more like everybody at some point will experience some sort of mental health difficulty. I describe it as the same way as I do physical health. We all have ailments from time to time, sore neck, bad knees, stomach ache, different things. Mental health is exactly the same, just on a sliding scale.
Yeah, the truth is, like I've said before, you never know who's going to be affected.
No.
It could be myself, it could be yourself, Kevin, it could be anybody around us. You never truly know who's struggling at what point in their life.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's always good to be kind. Say hello to somebody. If you're at the bus stop, speak to them, say hello.
Yeah.
Ask them how the day is. And just interact with people. You never know. You could be that moment that turns their week around. Just by saying hello or having a conversation with them in the supermarket, you never actually know what they're thinking, what their intentions are of the day, what's happened to them the week before. You just, the truth is, you never ever know. So it's always important to interact with people, be kind.
Yeah.
And just be considerate to people. One day you could wake up, you could have had a bad day, but it doesn't mean you put it onto somebody else, because like I said, you never know how they're feeling.
Yeah.
You've got to take it into consideration. How would you feel if somebody reacted the same way to you?
Yeah.
Or if you were struggling, how would you want somebody to help you?
Yeah.
And I think that's what people need to start to realise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the more people that talk about mental health and the more people that we can get on board, then the easier things will become in the long run, because people won't feel that they're alone. They won't feel they're in a situation that they're struggling with. They can turn to maybe one, two, three people that they can talk to.
Yeah.
And I say that's why it's important to build them relationships within families, just friendship groups. You've got to build them positive relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking earlier about, we kind of alluded to stigma. For you, where do you think the stigma around mental health comes from? Why do you think it's there?
I think it's the unknown. I think it really is the unknown that it's so frequently mentioned, people don't know how to encounter it. How do you approach it? If somebody's really struggling with mental health, how do you speak to them? Do you speak to them like we would be speaking now? Do you speak to them? Do you try and be more considerate towards them? How do you approach it?
Yeah.
Sometimes people that struggle want to be spoken to normally.
Yeah.
And from my personal opinion, that's how I think we should speak to them like you would any other person.
Yeah.
But just be mindful and careful.
Yeah.
With what you're saying, how you act.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of them situations that, yes, it is a sensitive subject, but you have to think about how you're speaking to them, but be normal with them. You're a normal human being. You've got to speak to them how anybody else, you'd speak to anybody else.
Yeah.
Just with respect and obviously, and be kind and caring.
Yeah.
But I think the big factor is mental health in males.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get addressed as much as it does with females.
No.
Because males, I've seen it a lot where males are meant to be more, I don't know, macho or masculine, you know. When I put the call out for people with mental health, there's no males that got in contact with me. I was really looking for somebody that was male to come out and contact with me, because for me, it affects everybody. Like I said earlier in the podcast, that it could be myself, it could be yourself, Kevin, it could be celebrities, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
And I think, especially around males, it's not addressed as much because, I don't know, I guess they have to be masculine and they can't show weakness, if you like.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's right because, like I said, we're all human. We all get affected in different ways. What could affect yourself could not affect me and yeah. vice versa.
Absolutely.
And I think that, especially with males, it's difficult. It's a more of a... There's more stigma around it than in general.
Yeah.
Like I said, in general, there is a huge issue with people not talking about it, going into the unknown, how to approach it. But I think with males especially, it needs to be maybe addressed yeah. a little bit more. You don't see many people speak about it as much with
no.
males.
There's, for me, there's been more and more media around male suicide. I can't remember what the figure is at the minute, but I know that male suicide, I think it's been between the ages of something like 25 and 35 or 45, are way, way higher than within females. And I agree, it kind of comes from that place of men are supposed to suck it up, just supposed to get on with it, aren't supposed to be feeling. But the truth is, you know, we, as humans, we experience, on average, I think it's something like 500 emotions a day. It's like massive. But are men supposed to cry? Are men supposed to feel? Are they then called? The amount of men that I've worked with face-to-face that would sit in front of me, and actually this happens with females as well, but more so with men, that I would say to them, and how does that feel? And they would literally look at me and go, I have no idea what you're asking me. And I'm looking at them, and I usually hold my hand to my chest and say, how does that feel? How does that feel right here? Hand on chest. And they go, I don't know. I have no idea. Emotions are developed in childhood. That's where they come from. But it takes a primary carer to help the young person to develop the emotions. We're really good with anger in general as humans, and men are really good with anger. But that's because it's a really easy go-to place. But actually, behind the anger can be all sorts of emotions. It could be sadness, it can be embarrassment, it could be humiliation. But we take it straight to this angry place because men, being masculine, are really good at that. But we're not educated. We're not educated. Not only are we not educated, but in general, it's not okay. It's not okay for men to cry and to show emotion. I'm really hoping that tide is changing. And I know that in private practice, probably about half of my client base is men, which is brilliant, which is really good. So, but I completely agree with you. More and more men, it would be healthy if more and more men stepped forward.
I think they just need to show emotion. I've for one have never been afraid to show emotion.
Yeah.
Whether it be laughing, crying, yeah. hugging, kissing, whatever it may be, I've not been afraid to show that. If you're in a male environment, for example, in a football situation, maybe on a Sunday morning, wherever it may be, that kind of environment, you're not deemed to show that.
Yeah,
which is wrong for me. It's okay to say that you're taking your partner or your wife out for a meal and giving her some flowers. It's okay to do things like that. It's okay to show emotion, but I don't think enough people do, especially from a male perspective. I don't think it's not. Speaks about openly, you know, it needs to be talked about more.
Yeah.
And people need to accept it, that emotion is okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's okay.
And like I said, going back to the topic about the stigma around mental health, that it's okay for people to show emotion. If they're sad, it's okay.
Yeah.
People need to release that. It's the problem is when you're holding it in, and you kind of start to self-destruct inside.
Yeah.
And that's part of the, that's a huge issue. But without people speaking about it, then there is no awareness.
Yeah.
And these people that are struggling, there is no help.
Yeah.
I know there is people that are willing to help others, but I think it needs to be on a larger scale.
Yeah.
And there needs to be more people that are willing to dedicate the time, and put effort in towards it. Because, like I said, without the help, who's going to help them?
Yeah.
Like I said.
Absolutely.
Even the family members, like I said, the family members and the friends, everybody needs to support each other.
Yeah.
And build a close-knit little community and get people through it.
Yeah. and just be able to talk about it. Just you used the phrase earlier, and it's something we use in therapy quite a lot. It's okay not to be okay. And it absolutely is okay sometimes not to be okay. Life is not perfect. Life will never be all perfect. The tire will go flat. You'll run out of money. You will feel ill. Life will throw stuff at you constantly. But it's how you manage that and know that it's okay to be a little bit off or to feel sad about something. That's okay. Yeah. And not to be mocked for that. If you step forward and want to speak to somebody about it.
Yeah.
Not to be told to get over it or to grow a pair, which are two.
Yeah, that is important. You do hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And I just think people need to be more considerate towards the situation.
Yeah. More thoughtful.
Yeah. Like I said, sometimes if people are struggling and they have an outburst, some people will just call them certain things that aren't necessarily true. And for me, that's wrong because they don't know what they're thinking. They don't know why they've had the outburst.
What's happened in there?
They don't know what's happened to cause that outburst. They've just seen the aftermath of it and they've not really seen it. And for me, the biggest eye opener was actually being in it to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to do with more people. We have to get more people in it to see it, to understand.
Yeah.
And then once people are in it, they can kind of actually speak to people with mental health and just show that they are kind, caring people, not just these people that have outbursts and are depressed and anxious, but that they are actually people with real feelings, just struggling how to portray them.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be in it to see it.
Yeah.
And once you get them in it to see it, then they can start to understand.
Yeah.
And then they can obviously tell other people to join in and show them that it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And from then you can kind of build a bigger base of where things are going. You can then show that it's okay to be talked about.
Yeah.
And then once you get a few people on board, then it can build and build and build and build. And like I said, once you're in it, you see a whole lot more. And from my personal perspective, that was the biggest eye opener for me.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of helped me understand mental health a little bit more, because you kind of see it from an inside perspective rather than just the outside. You only see the aftermath usually, and that's why people don't talk about it, because they just see the aftermath, but they don't see the build up to that aftermath. They don't see the people before that. They don't see them after that. They just see the outburst and automatically think it's bad.
Yeah,
and that's why they don't address it.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something earlier about, assuming why people would have an outburst or would react in a certain way. And you were talking about how people will want to be talked about. And I was wondering at that time when you were saying it, whether it would be helpful for people to ask, well, how do you want me to talk to you? What's best for you? And just ask that person, say, for you, How shall I address you best? Do you know what I mean? And ask them, because it's okay to ask. And the other side of that is, if somebody has an outburst or somebody speaks to you in a way that is out of character, I always think it's really powerful to be able to stop and say, are you okay? And just go back to them and go, you don't normally speak like that. You don't normally react like that. I'm just wondering if you're okay. And the chances are you'll stop them in the tracks and they'll stop and go, wow, nobody's ever asked me that before. And just that's how we open up dialogue and communication, which is what you're alluding to, that communication. So ask them, are you okay?
I think that comes back to the social interaction again, doesn't it? Because with the modern day technology that's out, people tend to not interact as much.
Yeah.
I said with the example earlier, if you sat in a bus stop and nobody talks to each other. I went for an unhealthy Chinese over the weekend. And
you're allowed a treat.
Yes, once in a while. And there must have been 30 people in there, and I'd say 28 of them were sat on the phones.
Yeah.
And I don't know what anybody was thinking in there. I didn't talk. Nobody talked to me. Nobody did anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their emotions were, what I literally knew nothing.
Yeah.
For all I know, I could have spoken to somebody in there that maybe would have been struggling, and I could have had a conversation with about anything. I could have spoken to them about their day, how was the week at work, what was on TV.
Yeah.
And it maybe did have helped them, but they were just sat behind the phones.
Yeah.
I know. In this day and age, it's important to use technology, and it is beneficial.
Yeah.
So I don't want to contradict myself, because social media is powerful.
Yeah.
Like I said, I put my images out on social media, and that helped people. But you've got to think of the positive and the negative ways that it can impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I try to use it as a positive way, and that's what I wanted to do. But there are also negatives and positives in the situation. I use the same topic in weddings. People dread rain on the wedding day. But I look past that and I think, well, what can you do with the rain to make it positive? You know, some people completely get so panicky, wedding photographers especially, they always come up to me and say, well, what do I do in the rain? What do I do in the rain? I can't go outside. The inside lighting's not very good.
Use a brolly.
And we could do that. I say to them, use it to your advantage. What can you do with that to make it positive?
Yeah.
What can you use in that scenario that's going to make something stand out?
Yeah.
And it's the same with social media. Yes, there is negatives to people sitting behind the phones all the time, but what can you do from a situation that's not talked about much?
Yeah.
How can you make people talk about it more? And my way was to put the images online.
Yeah.
And people do read words, but for me it was the images that stopped people.
Yeah.
The images stopped the people scrolling. I had many messages from people say, I stopped scrolling, looked at the images, and then I looked at the writing after, and then they put two and two together.
Yeah.
And for me that was the important part, because people actually took note.
Yeah.
From the images. But like I said, it's about putting negative situations, if you like, into a positive.
Yeah.
And like I said, I didn't want to contradict myself. So anybody looking back on the podcast, I didn't want to say social media is all bad. It has negative impacts all the time, because it doesn't. You can use so much. It builds businesses, it builds friendship groups, it can build anything.
Yeah.
But there is downsides to it, like everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's about one of them as well, because people are secluding themselves from others.
Yeah.
And they're not having these everyday conversations. People need people contact.
Yeah.
They need to talk. They need to speak to people about how they feel.
Yeah.
You can't really speak to social media as such like you would speak to another person.
Yeah.
And you can't really show your emotions in it. You can write on your phone and computer, but you can't really...
Well, it can be misread, can't it?
Yeah, you can't portray your emotions deep down.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you, what you're saying about social media. I think that for me, the difficulty with social media is we haven't been taught how to use it. So we're just, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, we've kind of just taught ourselves. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we could have been taught, because there is a lot of, I mean, this podcast will go out via social media. The way that we will publicize this is through social media. So it's about, like you say, it's about using it in a more positive way. But people, like you said, in the Chinese, people tend to hide in their phones and they don't look up and then speak to each other. And like we said earlier, just that little conversation in the Chinese with somebody saying, how are you, can just make their day, or just pick them back up from a place of real darkness. So we do tend to hide in our phones quite a lot, because it's easy.
Yeah, it's in front of us phones are always in front of people now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you need to, for me, I think a lot of people use it as, like you said, a safe haven to be at, and they hide behind the phones because they kind of go into their own little bubble.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk to people around them because they feel a little bit depressed and anxious, so they kind of don't go and then speak to somebody about something. Yeah. They kind of just get stuck in the phones. But I find as time goes on, that doesn't help.
No.
It makes things a little bit worse, because then they're socially taking themselves away from people that can help them and can speak to them. And they go in this little bubble where they can't, emotionally wise, put forward how they're feeling.
Absolutely.
And I think that is a huge factor, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
I read somewhere on the internet, I don't know how true it is, that since, I think it was 2004, people with mental health, especially in the younger generations, mm-hmm. has risen. I'm not sure how true that is.
It's massive. It's huge. Particularly around anxiety.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm not a doctor. I don't specialise in this field. But I think it's interesting how technology improves and new generations come in, how that's affecting them.
Yeah.
How that's affecting the younger generation coming up. Is it being addressed early enough to make things a little bit easier? I don't know. But for me, I think it'd be an interesting statistic to see, I guess.
Yeah.
What age it starts to struggle,
mm-hmm.
and really how is the modern day life affecting them?
Yeah.
I know people work wise have got less time and more stuff to do.
Yeah.
And people get a lot more stressed, a lot more depressed, a lot more anxious. I don't know if that could play a factor in that situation. We live in a lot faster world than what we used to. It's a lot more fast paced. You get less family time. A lot of the time, both parents have to work. And I think all that accumulated up leads to these certain situations.
Anxieties.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're quite... I think with social media... The truth is, we're using social media. We use it all the time. Kids are using it. We're using it. We bury ourselves in social media. So for me, the key is that we start using social media in a more positive way by doing stuff like this. So for me, that's the key out of it. James, we are just about coming to the end of our recording. I want to thank you massively for being here. That was a really, really interesting conversation. Is there anything you would like to say before we close?
No, just thank you very much for your time. And I've always wanted this position to occur. I didn't know how it was going to occur, but I wanted it to occur because I wanted my voice to be heard.
Good.
I wanted to make sure that I'm a real person putting it forward. Somebody who's just an average, everyday person that wants to help.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving myself a voice and everybody else that's been connected with the project that I did. And everybody else that's come forward, so thank you very much for your time.
It's been brilliant. Anybody that hasn't seen James's images, please, please, please go and check on the link and look at the images, because they are amazing. So as I've said on previous podcasts, we really want people's opinions on these. Put forward questions. You can contact us at radionewark.co.uk. There are iOS and Android apps. Contact info is Newark 01636. 678-033 or email studio@radionewark.co.uk. There will also be stuff on my Facebook page, which is Guthrie Therapy, and there's also an Instagram page there. So if you need to make contact about anything, ask questions, put forward subjects that you want us to discuss, then please do that. Okay, until the next recording, please take care and please be very kind to yourself. Take care. Bye-bye.